Wouldn't that indie video just do your heart good? Like, and just to say thank you to James for putting that together. There's a real power in the capacity to storytell well, isn't there? And we're really, really grateful for those of us, those of you in our church community who are creative, who tell stories well. And I want to remind you that if you're creative, like, you're, God has crafted you that way in order to bring his kingdom to earth. Creativity is essential to the kingdom coming because we need people who tell stories really well. So if you're creative and you haven't been doing anything with that creativity recently, see this as your notice to get back up and start using that again for the kingdom, because it's immensely powerful. So thank you to James, and please be praying for that team as they prepare to go again. Okay, so my name's Charlotte. If we haven't met before, I'm the site pastor here at CFC East. I serve alongside Ryan. And if you weren't here last week, you will not know that we are in a series looking at the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And many of you said it in assemblies, dreary, sleepy-eyed, every morning of your lives for years. And I remember my niece coming home whenever she was learning the Lord's Prayer in primary school. And because there were some words, they were learning it in the King James Version the way many of us did. And because there were some words that she wasn't quite so clear on, she just filled in the gaps with words she did know. So she came home and her version of the prayer went something like this. Our Father, who aren't in heaven, Halloween be my name. Because it's complicated. It's a complicated enough prayer. And the thing is, we rhyme it off. We've rhymed it off, many of us, for years. And one of the difficulties with it is maybe we don't really understand it, actually. We thought we did, but maybe we don't really understand it, which is why this series is important. But also, it can become rhetoric, can't it? Like, we just say it just rolls off the tongue, and we've lost somehow the power of this prayer. And whenever we learn about this prayer, it does a couple of things for us. Not only when we pray this prayer verbatim, we'll remember and understand the power of it in a new way, but also this prayer informs all our other praying. All the other kinds of praying we do are educated by this prayer. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it would have been like to be one of the disciples, or ever in your life just kind of thought, like, I wish Jesus was, like, physically beside me now so I could ask him about this, like, what on earth to do? I don't know if you've ever felt like that, like, I wish that I was a disciple with a physical incarnate Jesus. And yet, we get an opportunity to sit around his feet just like that through his word. Like, that's what his word is. It's an opportunity for you and I as disciples to actually sit with Jesus and find out what he thinks about a whole lot of things. And so when those disciples say to him that day, like, I know we're meant to pray, but, like, can you teach us how to pray? Like, what a class to be in. And we thought about last week about the disciples asking that question, and this was his response. If you, as a disciple of Jesus, want your prayers to be informed prayers, the kind of prayers that Jesus wants us to pray, what praying is meant to look like, then take a look at this. Let's sit around his feet for a little bit as disciples. Let's listen to him speak to us about prayer. And let's open our hearts up to the possibility that maybe our prayers need to be reformed again. Even if we've been praying, especially if we've been praying for decades, maybe it's an opportunity for our minds to be open to a different way of praying, or reinvigorated back into the power of prayer again as we sit together around this prayer. So last week, Richard kicked us off, and we're moving quite slowly through it. He kicked us off with the first couple of lines of the Lord's Prayer. You can read it in Matthew 6 is one place where you can read it. And he kicked us off by thinking about the fact that it starts with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name. And we were reminded about who we're praying to. Like, we're not, when we pray, we're not talking to somebody who may or may not be listening, who might be interested, also might not be. We're talking to someone who we are everything to. Like, you've got to understand how loved you are, or your praying will always be deficient. You are talking to somebody who cannot wait to hear what's going to come out of your mouth next. Like, he's obsessed with you. He's your father. And not what you've known as a father, even as a good father, like a perfect father. If you don't know how loved you are, your praying will always be deficient. He's our Father. Brilliant. He is in heaven, and holy is his name. So he's our Father. He's really deeply connected. He's bought in. When we're talking, he's listening. But also, we're not talking to an equal who only has the same level of power and wisdom we have. We're talking to someone who's in heaven and is holy, which just means completely other. He's totally invested, but he's completely other. He's like, he's at another level. We're not talking to an equal. We're talking to someone who has all power and all wisdom and yet is really attentive. And when we begin to catch a hold of that, our praying becomes really, really exciting. It's not a tick box exercise anymore. It becomes the joy and delight of our lives. Our Father who art in heaven or who is in heaven, holy or hallowed is your name. But today we want to move a little bit further into a section of the prayer that I think kind of raises some tricky questions for disciples. Because what comes next is this statement, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, Matthew 6 verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is where praying can get a bit tricky for some people. Because of, now we're not just talking about having a conversation with God, telling him about our day, which is part of praying, chatting with him, listening to him, which is part of praying. This is moving us into a different kind of praying. Because when we say, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're now moving into a kind of praying that the church has called for years intercession. We're now asking God to change something, do something. We're not just talking to him, we're asking him to do something. And some people find this really tricky. I've had people over the years say to me, Charlotte, what's the point? What is the point in that kind of praying where we ask God to do something, where we ask God to change things? Is God not all powerful? And is God not all knowing? What does he need me to pray for? What does he need me to pray for? If he's all powerful and he's all knowing, what does he need me to pray for? Surely God can just crack on and rule the universe. Do you not think that's a pretty good question? I think that's a good question. What is the point in you saying, God, this person's really on my heart, can you please do this for them? Or this is really concerning me, can you please move? If God's all powerful and all knowing, can we not just crack on, let him crack on with ruling the universe and we'll just live in it? I understand the question. Here's the problem with the question. When we ask that question, it reveals that we have a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be a human being. What does it mean to be a human being? According to scripture, what does it mean to be a human being? Because if we understand that, that question becomes null and void. Because I want to take you back to the beginning. Whenever God creates the earth, God could crack on and rule it himself. But that's not what God elects to do. God creates humanity, and from the very beginning, this has been humanity's role. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blesses them, the man and the woman, and he says to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over every living creature. The fundamental role of humanity is to rule, to reign, to look after the earth. It's been given to us. It was given to us as a gift at the beginning to look after. It's yours. So why would I just think that God's going to crack on and look after everything if from the beginning of time, it has always been our responsibility to care for this world? It's your job to rule and to reign in authority. And after the fall, the essence of your humanity is not just disappear. This is your responsibility. Just like I say to my boys, sometimes your room, it's your room, it's your responsibility. What do you think, the magic fairies are going to come and clean it up? It's your room, it's your responsibility. We've got to remember, this is our earth. And there's a balance to that, which we'll get to in a minute, but we've got to start with this understanding that it's our responsibility. Like, God has gifted it to us to look after. So saying God can just crack on and we're just going to passively amble through is a fundamental misunderstanding of why you're here. I want you to understand that everywhere you place your feet is your responsibility. Sheesh kebabs. That changes Monday. If everywhere you plant your feet becomes your responsibility to see something of the kingdom come and flourishing, then that changes how we do our life. I want you to remember that you do not go to your workplace to get a wage, you go to your workplace to bring the kingdom. The wage is helpful, but that's not the fundamental reason you're there. You live in your street because you need somewhere to live, yes, but fundamentally you live in your street to see the kingdom come and that street flourish and be restored to its identity. That's why you live there. You're in your family because of your DNA connection, yes, but that's not the real reason. The main reason is to see the kingdom come and his will done in your family. It is your responsibility. Everywhere you go, you have responsibility. And intercession, number one, is a restoration of our responsibility. Where we begin to realize again that I've actually got some responsibility here. When it says your kingdom come in Matthew 6:10, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we remember that we are the ones planted on earth to see heaven come. That's what it means to intercede, to stand between two spaces and places and pull them together. To stand between the earth, the circumstances, the relationships, the people that you do life with, to have one eye on that, to have one eye on him, to pull those two worlds together. That's your role as an intercessor. You are on the earth to see the kingdom come where you are. Everywhere you plant your feet, that is your job. That is your first priority. That is who you are in your essence as a human being. It's intercession is the beautiful opportunity where we remember I'm responsible. So why wouldn't I bring my workplace, my street, my family, my city? Why would I not be presenting that before the Lord when I'm the one who's responsible? When there's something of delegated authority on me to see his kingdom come in this place. And if I'm silent, then who's talking about this to the Father? If you're silent, who is talking about this to the Father? Because it's your responsibility. My nephew-in-law told me a story a couple of years ago about a friend of his who was an exam invigilator. And so he used to be one of those people who walked up and down the aisles when people were selling like GCSEs, A-levels, those kind of things, hand out extra paper, all that stuff. But because this guy was a Christian, he understood that wherever his feet were was his responsibility. So I want this exam room to flourish because I'm here to bring the kingdom, not just to invigilate. So what he would do is he would walk up and down the aisles and pray for the students as he walked. He would just pray over each one as he walked up and down the aisle that God's best would come, that they'd have clarity of mind, that they'd have whatever they needed. He would just pray over them as he walked up and down the aisle. And he told my nephew-in-law that he'll never forget the day that his heart broke as he got to one boy at a table. And he felt, as he began to pray for him, as he just walked past him, in his own mind, in the quiet of his heart, he felt the Lord say to him, "Nobody's ever talked to me about this boy before. Nobody's ever talked to me about this boy before." What if you're a neighbor? What if nobody's ever talked to the Lord about your neighbor before? That really snarky workmate that you're praying God will take out of your workplace because they're making your life a misery. What if they're there because the kingdom needs to come and you're the one who's supposed to be bringing it and you're praying for them to leave? And what if nobody has ever talked to the Lord about that person before? The church has to be recalled back up and mobilized again into activity. Everything else we do is peripheral. We are here to see the kingdom come. And intercession is remembering, I have a responsibility to name all of this before the Lord and ask him to come and bring his kingdom here. Because this is mine to rule and reign over, and I want to see his kingdom come. Intercession is a return to our responsibility, a restoration, but it's more than that. And this is where we need to think about what it means to rule and reign, what it means to have delegated authority, what it means to have power on the earth in this day that's been given to you and gifted to you by the Father. What does it mean? Because it's not like God left them in the garden in the beginning and said, "Well, now you crack on and I'll step back and do nothing." It's not that God does everything and we do nothing. It's not that we do everything and God does nothing. It's meant to be a partnership. It was always meant to be a partnership. This is why the way the Lord wanted to rule the earth, in partnership with us. That's how it's meant to work. When humanity is in the essence of who it is, when God is allowed to rule and to reign, that's the way it's meant to work in partnership. So I want you to remember that in the beginning, in Genesis 3 verse 8, we hear that God doesn't leave them in the garden and abandon them, but actually there's this moment where it says that the people heard him walk in the garden in the cool of the day. And while that moment in Genesis 3 is post-fall, I think it indicates to us that that's God's way, that that's probably what they've been doing. That people, God has gifted them the earth and said, right, here you go, this is yours, look after it, make it flourish, rule and reign. But then God keeps coming back into the garden and walking with them. And my imagination runs away with me, but I can just imagine what that's like. You know, like Adam and Eve have been rocking about, you know, pruning this, planting that, sorting out this, like making this garden flourish. And then God comes into the garden and they're like, oh, come here, you see what we've been working on today. Look at this. Or saying, God, we're not really sure how this bit works. What way do rivers work? Can you explain that to us so that we know how to best use that? And they're in this conversation in partnership in order to make this garden flourish. That's the way it's meant to be. It's the way it's still meant to be. It's the way it's still meant to be, in partnership. We see it flourish. The problem is in Genesis 3:1, they step out of with God and they step into with Satan, and they begin to rule in partnership with a very dark force, because the serpent comes to them and says, did God really say? And they start to listen to the serpent. So they're in partnership, but they're in partnership now with somebody who wants to kill, steal, and destroy, not somebody who wants to bring life. And I want to remind you that when we move into intercession on earth as it is in heaven, but when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's not just a restoration of our responsibility, it's a restoration of his rule and reign. What we are doing, I want you to think about this in this minute. Post-fall, if the enemy has been given authority by the humans as they've entered into partnership with him to rule and reign the earth, when you intercede and you say the words, you stand, say, in a situation where darkness is running rampant, and you say, no, but I'm here now. My feet are on this soil now. And you say, God, in this situation, in this dark space, in this dark street, in this dark place, in this dark relationship, in this dark life, I am saying, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is heaven. And what you're doing in that moment is you're taking your area of responsibility, which is just wherever your feet are planted, you're taking your area of responsibility and pulling it back under the authority of God. You're realigning it back under the authority of God. You're saying, Satan has been having a field day here, but now I'm here and I'm taking the square inch of my feet and I'm putting it back under you, and I'm saying, your kingdom come and your will be done. It's a restoration of the reign of God when we intercede on behalf of the spaces and places that we're in. We are pulling it back. We're pulling the ground back under good authority so that it can flourish again. Have you any idea the power of what's been entrusted to you? I am like, if I understood this, you wouldn't be able to stop me praying. If I understood I've got authority, and now I get to decide, because I've got authority here, to pull that in underneath God's authority and realign that and see his kingdom come, we would never stop praying. Praying is powerful. And when he tells us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it is a call to stand up and take your place of authority and then bow down and call his reign to come. That's what you're doing. And I want to call the church again back to intercession. When did we stop praying? When did we abdicate our role? When did we think that God wasn't interested and it actually didn't matter whether I spoke up or not before the Father? When did I forget that I've got authority to ask heaven to do something and God is waiting for me to do it? Because it's my authority. It's my room. God is waiting for us. You understand that God is waiting for you because he has delegated authority to you. He is waiting for you to stand up in your authority and say, God, your kingdom come. He's waiting for you to call for heaven to do something. He's waiting for you to do it because it's your place of authority. And it needs to be pulled back under his reign, but it's our responsibility to do that. This is the glorious joy of intercession. And I think there's this beautiful moment of what it looks like to live a life of intercession in one of the Gospels. It's a bit comedic. It's one of those like comedic moments in the Gospels where you look at the disciples and you think, bless them, they're doing their best. And then you remember, if I was there, I would have been worse. And I'm glad my discipleship has not been documented as clearly as these disciples has been. There's this moment, right, and let me read it for you. It's in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 9, let me give you a little context of what's been going on. Peter, James, and John have been up the mountain of Transfiguration. They've seen the glory of the Lord revealed, right? Kraken, sign me up. They've seen the glory of the Lord revealed. And in amongst that, in Luke 9, verse 34, it says this, verse 35, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen, listen to him. So the one thing that God says to them up that mountain is, Jesus is my son, listen. Like, listen. You know, like your mum used to say, you've got 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. Like, listen to him, right? It's good. I'm really, really glad that that happened at that moment, because what's about to happen next would not have happened the way that it did if they hadn't had that advice. Listen to him. So then they go down the mountain. A few other things happen. By the end of the chapter, this is what transpires in Luke 9:51. As the time approached for him, that's Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village, all right, to get things ready for him coming. But the people there didn't welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. So this Samaritan village don't want Jesus to come in. And then it says this, when the disciples, James and John, remember, James and John were up the mountain with Peter when he says, listen to him. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Bless them. But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and then he and his disciples went to another village. Let me show you how this is a picture of intercession. First of all, these boys understand they've got authority. That's a good thing. These boys understand, because I belong to the Father, I have authority to ask heaven to do some stuff here, even some bonkers stuff. I've got authority to ask heaven to intervene. These guys understood that. That's the first part of intercession, is understanding. It's our job to stand in the space and to see something happen. But the second part of intercession is to bow beneath the will of the Lord and say, your kingdom come, your will be done. And if the boys had missed that step, we'd have been in a whole heap of trouble. Because now they stand, but as they stand between what's happening in the world and Jesus, who is God, they stand between those two places, and before they do anything, understanding their authority, before they call for anything, before they request anything, before they ask anything, understanding they have the authority to do so, before they do that, they take a quick glance back, remembering they're meant to listen to him, and they say, is that what you want us to ask for, though? And before you think that these guys are bonkers for asking for fire to come from heaven, remember that they've got the Old Testament rolling around their heads, and they understand there's a place called Sodom and Gomorrah once, and there was fire down there. So they're just presuming they know how this is going to go. I presume, based on my knowledge so far, that this is probably what God might want to do. And it was actually the complete opposite of what God wanted to do. I just want to say, in our intercession, sometimes our intercession lacks speaking, as in we're just not talking to God about anything, and sometimes it lacks listening. Because we're meant to be praying that his kingdom would come and his will would be done, and we're meant to be looking to him saying, before I start to pray for something in this situation, can you tell me what to pray? What is your will? So let's take it back to that person in your work who's really, really annoying you. And maybe all this time you've been praying that God gets him to leave. Did you ask God, is that what he wanted to do? Because intercession is not our kingdom coming and our will being done. Intercession is asking, what way do you want this to roll here, God? And then I'll use my authority to call that into being, call that down from heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Intercession is about standing. Intercession is about bowing. And intercession is about seeing the radical restoration and renovation of the earth, which you, my friend, have been given authority to see. You've literally been given authority to see this. And so I just want to remind you of who you are. The nature of your humanity on earth is that you're called to rule and reign wherever your feet go. And by rule and reign, we don't mean lord it over. We mean see flourish. And by flourish, the only way the place is going to flourish is when we look back to Jesus and we say, what do you want to see here? And then I'm going to use my authority and I'm going to call that down in partnership with you. I'm going to trail this piece of the earth back under the authority of heaven, and I'm going to say, your kingdom come here and your will be done. Guys, Belfast City is our responsibility. Let's narrow that down. This street, this is our responsibility because our church is here. And if we are not praying for this street, can I ask the question, who is? And if we're not praying for those flats and the people therein, can I ask who is praying for them? And then let's personalize this to you. Your street is your responsibility, and if you're not praying for your street, who is praying for it? And your workplace is your responsibility, and if you're not praying for your workplace, who do we think is? Because that's yours. That's yours to intercede for. And I want to call the church back to prayer. The truth is, we have a prayer meeting, and it's one of my favorite nights of the month. And I know that sometimes people can't come for a whole variety of reasons. I totally get that. You know me by now. I'm not marking anybody's card. But I sometimes wonder, is the lack of our enthusiasm for prayer spaces connected to our lack of understanding of our authority and our responsibility? We get to see the kingdom come where we are as we intercede together. And I want you to think about your prayer life again and think, what does it look like for me to really take this seriously? Take your role as an intercessor seriously. What will that look like? In 40 days' time, it will be the 20th of November, if I've done Mass right. And I wonder what it would look like for 40 days for you to intercede every single day for your place of responsibility. Some of you already do it, but those of us who don't, what would it look like for you to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done here as it is in heaven? What would happen if we began to take our responsibility seriously? What could happen here? What could happen here? Isn't it a real clever scheme of the enemy to just get you to forget you've got authority so you don't use it? Just so you don't use it. There is a call again to intercede. This is what I want us to do. Let's take a moment. Let's close our eyes for just a second. Thank you for listening. Team's going to come and get ready. Let's take a moment here, and I want you to get your place of authority in your mind, whether that's a relationship you have with a person, a place you live or work, a child, a parent, maybe this street, maybe this city. Let the Lord just bring something to your mind. And once you've got it in your mind, I want you to begin to pray over that area. God, your kingdom come and your will be done there as it is in heaven. You begin to pray it. And if you feel you need to pray that out loud, you're very welcome to in this space. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Lord, we sit before you today and we say, Lord, would you remind us again? Would you do something in our hearts and stir us again back up into the authority that we've been given? And Lord, we pray that everywhere we go this week, that you would remind us to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done here. Every meeting, every telephone conversation, every message sent, every interaction, every walk we go on, every place we drive, would you remind us that wherever our feet are, it's our responsibility in that moment to pray your kingdom come and your will done here. We pray for clarity and increased clarity in our intercession. We pray that you would give us the mind of Christ as we pray. We pray that those things that we've been praying about, that maybe you need to realign us in how we're praying about them. We pray, Father, that you would guide us. Holy Spirit, would you guide our minds this week to pray in line with the will of the Father? And if we need our minds to be reshaped on some things and how we've been praying about them, would you do that for us? We want your kingdom come, Lord. We want to stand in the place you've been given to us, has been given to us, but we also want to bow there and say, it's not about my will being done here, but it is about your kingdom and your will. So come, we pray. I wonder if we could just keep our eyes closed for a moment. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you're in the room this morning and you haven't given your own life to Jesus yet, you haven't said, God, I want you to come and to rule my life and to reign in my life and to restore me back to the person that I'm meant to be. I want to give my life back to you to do that with. I want you just in these moments when everyone's eyes are closed just to raise your hand for me, and when I see it, you can take it down. Yeah, I see you. Yeah, I see you. I just say, if you're a praying person, you need to pray right now, because some people are wrestling to give their lives over to Jesus, and you've got to pray for them. That is your responsibility in this house right now. I just want to wait another second in case there's someone else. Have your way, Lord. I'm just going to take a moment, and as a community, we're going to take our responsibility seriously, and we're going to pray for the two people who have responded here this morning to give their lives to Jesus. So you begin to pray. Don't wait for me today. It's not my responsibility. It's our responsibility. You begin to pray for them. They're going to need your prayers. So you begin to pray every prayer that you wished had been prayed for you as you started out. Let's turn this into a prayer meeting for a second, please. Begin to lift your voices. We don't need to do this in our heads. Begin to lift your voices and begin to pray for them. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for these two beautiful people who have said today they want to give their lives to you, and we just celebrate that. We celebrate with them. Like, what a glorious thing to have found you, to have heard your voice call them, to know that they're loved and wanted and welcomed into the family of God, to know that you have got a plan and a purpose for their lives, that you want to restore to them anything that has been lost to them on their journey so far, that you want to teach them who they are in the kingdom, that you want to raise them up to be people who bring change to the earth, that bring beauty and flourishing everywhere they go. And we pray right now that you would seal them with your Spirit, that they would know for sure that they belong to God, that they are your sons. We pray that they would know that they are sons of the Most High God. We pray that you would plant their feet firmly in you, Lord, and they would not be shaken. We pray as the enemy would come in like a flood, that you would hold him back, Lord, that he would get no foothold. We pray that they would have the mind of Christ. We pray their mind would open up to you very quickly and very easily. We pray that they would know what it is to hear hear the voice of God, to understand what it is you want to say to them. And we pray, Father, that you would fill them now with such joy and delight as they discover what it is to be a kid of the Father, to not be on their own on the earth, but to know that they are held and loved and known and wanted and positioned and purposed and here for a reason, Lord. So I pray that everything that you have for them, they will receive, Lord. That not one thing that you have for them will be lost, but they will know the joy of being your child. Bless them today, we pray, and help us as a church family to help them in their journey and to help them as they follow after you. In your name we pray. And everybody together says, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, and as we do, I'm just going to say to those couple of people who responded today, if at the end when the prayer ministry team come to pray for people, people will be coming for prayer for lots of other things, but I'm going to invite you to come for prayer and to just let them know that you're one of the people who raised your hand, and they'll help you to find out a few things that might be helpful, answer a few questions and pray for you just as you start on your journey.